on making things public, and this is self-explanatory. So I'll let you see the film, and after that we have the lecture.
This is not a critical show. It's a show precisely which is beyond the image war in religion, science, and art, and which says, okay, whatever is your political position, how do we present the thing you talk about? It's a Gedankenausstellung in the sense I defined with Peter. It means it's a lot of intellectual stuff in this show. It's no use hiding it. It's an intellectual show. But in a museum, you can do Gedankenausstellung. That is exactly like a scientific experiment, which is called a Gedanken experiment. You can experiment on a principle on two conditions. One of them is that it's a completely imaginary space. And what you will see there is an amazing assembly of completely disjoint things which could not possibly get together. Supermarkets, rivers, Hobbes's Leviathan, North Canadian masks. This is a completely Gedanke experiment. So what we want to understand in this show is the conjunction of the two aspects of politics. We want to bring together the way of defining assemblies and the way of moving and displacing in this assembly the thing, the topic, the issue about which the assembly is gathering.
Walking around ZKM and showing us different techniques of representation.
One aspect of a show is this question of ding. Why is there thing in the title, making things public? The reason is visible in all this installation, and especially in those photographies, of what is called in German, if my German is good, Fingstaaten, that is place of Ding, the place where people assembled in the old days and which are still called Ding in most of the European languages. And this is important because what we want to reconstruct in this whole show is actually a thing, or actually a Ding. And those are some of his objects and traditional places of meeting where people meet because they disagree with one another. And that's the whole idea of politics. We disagree, but we assemble.
This is Gofcom from Amsterdam. And what it does is that it's exactly like the ticker you have for your stocks, except it goes through the web, it crawls through the web, mainly for the NGOs type of sites, and it produces an indicator of the intensity of the different issues around the world. So every morning you can see if anti-racism is actually up or down, if feminism is or anti-globalization is going up or down. And when you click here, you actually access the original document. So you can constantly monitor not the state of your finance, but the state of your issues.
Oh, here's the phantom. Look, this is a nice case of phantom. Phantom is very visible around the show. Although the show is called Making Things Public, there are a few things about making things secret. And this is the part about secrecy. And how do people make hide, in a way, some of the element of politics. And there are several installations around here about the politics of secrecy and how do people try to hide from the public more and more things in spite of the masses of information that overflow around it. So this is this part, number 11, the obscure object of politics.
I'm Ben Rubin, and this piece is called Dark Source. And I started working on it when I was very concerned about the 2004 elections. This was probably in the end of 2002. And I could see that these touchscreen voting machines were starting to become adopted by many states in the United States. And these touchscreen voting machines, and it's the kind of thing where you might expect the public could have access to see how the mechanism works, that there should be inherent transparency in the process. In fact, these voting machines were purchased in such a rush after the Florida elections in 2000 that there were no safeguards put in place. And there's no requirement that the companies make the source code available. And in fact, they choose to retain trade secrecy on the source code and say that this is their private intellectual property and no one can see it, have access to it, or review how it's working. So it turned out that a copy of the source code had leaked. You could get I couldn't ever actually see the source code myself, but I was able to get essentially a blacked out copy of the source code. And that's what we're looking at here, is a copy of the program that runs inside of the Diebold AccuVote TS touchscreen voting machine. You know, in an effort to try to make transparent what is going on inside of this opaque box, I found that what's going on inside is in fact still completely opaque and completely dark. That's the piece, dark source. It's the opposite of open source.
Then Bruno Latour is introduced by a shortened introduction.
Thus, responding to our incessant anxiety about our identity, are we modern? Are we pre-modern? Are we anti-modern? Are we post-modern? Latour tells us, no, we have never been modern. To use the title of Bruno's now canonical book translated into 22 languages. Indeed, we are this strange hybrid being that claims mastery over the distinction between nature and society, facts and values, while simultaneously constructing societies that mix more intimately than ever before the properties of matter with our definitions of social order. From Latour's perspective, we have no sure way of knowing what connects us to each other as a society. Indeed, we can be simultaneously connected or disconnected by the text of a new law regarding stem cells, the analysis of a chromosome, the force of a hurricane, or the pollution emitted from the exhaust pipes of our cars. This way of seeing the world allows us to reopen the political debate. Indeed, what is at stake with Latour's anthropology of science is democracy itself.
The Department of Rhetoric here.
The whole of the lecture was about 3 hours, and I'm just going to hit on the pieces that seem to really intrigue Bruno.
Zetkam in Germany surrounded. At some point in the film, I point out the phantom, and you might have wondered why there's a phantom in this show. Well, we wanted to express what Lippmann and Dewey meant by the public, because it's a very difficult question. What is the public? It's not a body. It's not the general will. It's something that passes through. So politics for Dewey and Lippmann is actually a circulation which is constantly modified by the unexpected consequence of our action. So it's very difficult to materialize this. So this is why Lippmann called it the phantom. He says the public is a phantom. But he doesn't take phantom negatively. If you read the book, the phantom is actually a positive quality. It's not a body. So it has another characteristic. And what I did is that I wanted to basically try to show this very strange definition. What happened here? Oh, yes. Well, this is a little Macintosh trick, sorry. This phantom is constantly passing through you, taking the multiplicity and making it a unity and back. So it has a very strange type of sensation. And I asked a French artist, Jaffrenou, to try to make visible in the show the phantom. Now, it cost a fortune. And Ken will not disagree with me. When you try these things, it never exactly work. And actually, the day of the opening, it did not work at all. But after that, it does manage. So the visitors' input, visitors were constantly triggering input through mics and RFID and infrared captures and so on. And all of that was mixed in horrible mixtures there in the middle, which is represented by this little Excel diagram there, and then sent back to the visitors. So that's why people were very disturbed in the show. Well, sometimes nothing happened, so we didn't see the phantom, but that's what you expect, of course, from a phantom. And sometimes we are constantly distracted because some of the action of a visitor somewhere had an action on where you were. So you couldn't see the piece because suddenly there were lots of light, on the contrary, a very strong sound. And you had to have a feeling, well, you were supposed to have a feeling of the atmospheric condition of a body politic. And this it was a very probably too ambitious piece of electronic artwork, but it's the sort of thing I thought I was wanted to mention here, because you are a group trying to mix up art, technology, and political philosophy, because that's of course what we try all to do. The non-hierarchical was what the show was about. Does that answer part of the? But I see the worry. Yes, it's important.
Then someone asked, "What's the difference between an object and a thing?"
Well, it's a traditional Heideggerian difference between Gegenstand and thing. But I retranslate it in more matters of fact and matters of concern. So it does matter in both sense, but the difference is that matters of concern, it does matter. So if you take a river, the river case is quite nice. If you take it as a matter of fact, you will be considering as away as possible from the other cultural, political, social aspect of it. And you'll try to define, well, it's very difficult now to find a matter of fact. For the show, I asked Lauren Daston, the great historian of science, to make an installation for the last matter of fact, so to speak. And we, the funny thing is that we couldn't find one. Because every time I propose an example, she quoted an historian of science who had actually done the essential book, making the historicization of this thing. So finally we decided to say rocks, because rocks in philosophy, as you know, play a very important role as a sort of ultimate kicking thing. But that didn't work, because immediately I quote, yes, but Hacking's last chapters in The Social Construction, what is a fabulous deployment of the Dolomite, and the Dolomite is a matter of concern, not a matter of fact. So we keep scratching, and finally she said, well, if we were finding really boring, uninteresting, non-geologically relevant stones out of Zetkheim in Karlsruhe and put it in, would that count as a sort of boring, discrete, uninteresting, brute fact? But that didn't work, because of course immediately geologists become to find them interesting. So it's the whole slogan that we are moving from object to things, I think I'm not inventing it. I think it's a whole that's why I call it aesthetics of matters of concern. It's very difficult now to find the brute, boring, discrete matters of fact as remote as possible from the other type of concern. And especially if you let historian of science loose. The very nice case of a Dolomite in Hacking's paper book is quite... but I mean, yesterday I was in seeing Dr. Atomic on the stage. I mean, the atomic bomb becomes now a matter of aesthetic concern. I mean, it's very hard now to find the matters of fact. Not that we want to get rid of certainty. And that's a whole question which is interesting for philosophers, epistemologists, artists, and etc. How can we get our certainty back with matters of concern? That's really my question. And the way we did it before, by making the Powellian insane distinction between assertion and fact, doesn't wash anymore. And it has been abused too much. So this is a tricky philosophical question, I agree. But I'm using here the very simple definition between, that Heidegger had also overused, between Gegenstand and Dinger. But the nice case of a shuttle is here. The shuttle before being destroyed is uncontrovertibly taken as just stuff. And immediately after it exploded, people say, oh yes, but it's more complicated, because actually the shuttle is also flying in the air, but also flying inside the NASA. So where is the NASA? Well, NASA is inside which the shuttle flies. Of course, it means that lots of people in the NASA knew perfectly well that this, in order for the shuttle to fly in the air, you need to have a functioning NASA. No question about it. What I was interested in is the public representation change. So when we feed the public with facts, we actually feed them with only a little tiny part of the story. And it's only when there is a catastrophe or a polemic or a controversy that we say, oh yes, but there are lots of other things as well. The question is, can we feed the public with a definition of the whole, what I call the vascularization of scientific fact as well? And that's what I call a thing. I mean, I'm not going to play endlessly on this Heideggerian twist, but this is just to get the point across. And I think it's a striking case because I've seen a study on that. It was on the last page of the newspapers when it gets out. So no one was concerned. The shuttle was just one of the other boring type of shuttle. You know what? Every time a matter of fact is boring, it's probably a mistake. Because scientists keep wondering, again, these things interesting. And can we capture some of this interest? This is what I think what has, matters of fact, was a very important aesthetics when it was invented around Locke's time. But we are no longer in Locke's time. And the question is now, what's the aesthetics of matters of concern? This is a very active question for artists and philosophers, I think. It's a very nice, well, actually, I'm thinking of a third exhibition on that question. So.